The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Mind Pump listeners, this month, enroll in any MAPS bundle. That's either the Sexy Athlete Bundle, the Build Your Butt Bundle, or 9 months of exercise programming RGB Bundle.
Oh, the best deal.
And you can pick any guide absolutely free, but that's not all. You'll also get a free MAPS t-shirt.
What?
Of your choice. Here's what you do. You enroll in any MAPS bundle, then you email admin@mindpumpmedia.com. Let them know your shirt size, your address, and which guide you want, and we'll hook you up.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, Mind Pump listeners. You're about to hear us talk to two of the most fascinating dudes I've ever talked to, who have a very interesting product. It's
very cool.
Very, very cool. It's hard to explain. You actually have to listen to the episode, but it has to do with designing music in a particular way to change brainwave patterns, to change brain activation. And they've actually got some pilot studies that demonstrate that what they're doing actually works. They got very popular in a short period of time, all by word of mouth. And our good friend Kyle Kingsbury swears by them. And I can't wait to try this.
Well, I believe they even said too on their website, you can go to their website, right? And you can actually get like 10 free trials or something like that,
for
right?
For free, yeah.
So, I mean, that's, and the response from people is ridiculous. I was reading through the reviews. They literally had like 500 like 5-star reviews. It's crazy.
It's
like,
crazy. Yeah. It's, you got to go to brain.fm online. So it's www.brain.fm, or you can go, it's an app on your iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, it's an app that you can get. The two guys you're going to hear us talking to are one of them is the creator and the other one's his partner, Adam Hewitt and Jened Kalmati. So without any further ado, here's Mind Pump interviewing the guys that run Brain FM. I like your tattoo. What is that?
Oh, thanks. You know, whenever you go into like the pharmacy or whatever, you'll see it's usually got snakes that wrap around it. It's called the caduceus. And instead of snakes, I have brain waves or audio waves.
That's sick.
That's pretty thanks, clever. Man.
God damn it. Did you get that recently?
A couple years ago.
Really? When you started Brain FM?
Oh, no. I've been doing this for almost 14 years now.
Oh, wow. Shit. You've been doing that for that long?
Yeah. So I figured after, you know, 12 years, I should probably commit to it in a bodily way, a physical way. So, but this is kind of my most visible tattoo, and I get a lot of compliments on it, even though, and explaining it, people are like, badass.
So you waited almost 14 years before you got a tattoo?
Oh, no, I have other tattoos.
No, but I mean of your company.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I thought Justin rushed it. He went out and got a low back Mad Mike, like literally within a year of we were
right
there.
Right in my ass crack.
Commitment.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was a little early.
Adam got his. He got MMP.
It's never too early.
MP on either butt cheek, and then when he bends over, it says Mind Pump.
Yeah.
So it's one of those. Yeah.
You get to find it. You get to find it by spreading.
Yeah. I waited till we hit a million listeners, though, before. Yeah. I wasn't stupid.
Yeah. Come on. So yeah. I want you just start.
I love tattoos.
Let's start off. I want you guys to explain to us, you know, maybe your elevator pitch or whatever, what Brain FM is. I'm familiar somewhat with like binaural beats and that kind of stuff, but I know you guys are way different.
Yeah, way different.
Way different. Yeah. So explain it a little bit.
Yeah.
Go for it, Jened.
Yeah, we're completely unrelated to binaural beats, but what we are basically doing is that we're making music that's designed for the brain to influence your mental state within a few minutes. So we're combining music with auditory neuroscience to influence cognitive states.
Really?
Yes.
And now, so this obviously works.
For focus, for sleep, for meditation, for relaxation, and for naps. We started off with these.
Now, how does this work? How do you test this? How do you even develop, you know, sounds and music that do this? What's that process look like?
Well, there was this, and you mentioned binaural beats, and we are completely unrelated to that because we use music, and we'll get into all that. But there's this phenomenon called entrainment.
Okay.
And whenever I started doing this back in 2003, it was not a very accepted concept. But the concept is that you can use music, you can use sound to affect the brain. What you'll see is you'll see music is being played, and then the brain will actually have a corresponding change that you can see on an EEG or an MRI. Mm. And whenever in 2003, whenever I first started doing this, nobody really was actually researching this seriously. Nobody was really taking it seriously.
See, that blows me away, because it's obviously music has an effect on the brain, or sounds do. I mean, I know, yeah. I feel different when I listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, and that it definitely has a more indirect effect, which is really interesting. One of my first EEGs, I put it on my then girlfriend, and I was playing some music that I liked and that she didn't like.
Death metal,
Metallica.
You saw her auditory cortex lighting up as normal. But whenever I played a song that she liked, you saw the whole brain change. She saw alpha patterns. You saw, because she was enjoying it, and it had memories associated with it.
Wow.
But what we're talking about with entrainment is a direct effect.
Okay.
So, in 2005, I ended up creating a way to integrate entrainment into music itself. And basically what we can do is I can produce a rhythm that corresponds to a brainwave pattern, and you can actually see that pattern in the brain.
Do you discover this through trial and error, or do you have is there like a particular pattern that you work off of that's proven to show a particular type of influence? I mean, this is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Any inventor or any scientist that says they don't use trial and error is lying.
Of course.
I mean, it's all trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have very specific protocols that we use now that have been proven just over the 13 years that we've been doing this to help people focus. And we test it with EEGs. And recently we tested it with an fMRI.
Oh, wow. What did you guys see?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we saw changes all across the brain in areas that, you know, like the frontal lobe. Like, you wouldn't think, okay, we can affect the frontal lobe with audio. But we saw changes that were very much related to attention. And we're going to be putting that up on the website real soon.
So explain the frontal lobe and why that was surprising, because I think a lot of our listeners might not know, you know, why that's a surprising thing. I mean,
Yeah. Well, the auditory cortex is kind of, I mean, you can kind of think of it as near the ears. It's in the temporal lobe, which is kind of, you know, kind of midbrain and nearer to the ears than the frontal lobe. So whenever we're talking, the frontal lobe is just like, you can think of it as kind of your forehead, mm-hmm. right? And it has to do with attention and your sense of self and predicting what's going to happen later. It's what is commonly said to make us the most human, and it's mm-hmm. the part of our brain that's the youngest and the most fallible. It's mm-hmm. the one that screws up and makes us go crazy or depressed.
Mm.
Or conscious side, right? Would you say it's like your conscious side?
I would say aware of your consciousness. Yeah,
maybe.
Awareness. They're definitely trying to find the seat of the consciousness, but if you had to put it anywhere, yeah, probably the frontal lobe would be you wouldn't think that audio would directly affect the frontal lobe simply because of proximity. So you've got the auditory cortex, which is again near the ears, not anywhere near the forehead, but we see activity everywhere.
Wow. Now, when you're playing these beats to people, when you're playing this music to people, and you're seeing these patterns in their brain, is it also correlating to what they perceive they feel? In other words, if there's a part of the brain that lights up, you know, that's maybe connected to, you know, relaxation or focus, are they then coming out of it saying, "I feel relaxed and focused? Is it, or is it just something you see on the measuring devices?
Oh yeah. You feel it. That's really the you know, the great advantage that we have, and just something that's really getting people excited, because if you simply try it out, you're going to feel it, and that includes focus. I mean, relaxation's always been something easy to, you know, to a certain extent. If you close your eyes and listen to Enya, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to feel some, you're closing your eyes for one thing.
Sure,
you know, you're remaining stationary, so you're going to feel some kind of relaxation.
Wow.
But there are two other things: sleep, which is very, very impressive, and we can talk about that. Some of the crazy stuff we've done with sleep, crazy results. But focus, you will actually feel it. And here's kind of a typical experience. You know, you'll start it, and you won't know what really to expect. And you'll just start working while the music is playing. And then 10 minutes into it, you'll realize, I haven't been doing anything but work this entire time. I haven't thought about Facebook. I've just been kind of typing away, or doing what, you know, coding, whatever kind of work you do. And that's whenever it kind of clicks that this is actually doing something. And people use it for, you know, half an hour, hour, 2 hours, and they get a lot more work done. And you see changes in the brain, you can feel it.
How much would you say the genetic component comes in? Like, you know, it's obvious, like Sal brought up the music, and, you know, like we all go to the gym, and like, there's certain music that motivates me. Like, you know, Justin and I will listen to something like Metallica, and Sal will listen to something like Taylor Swift or Britney Spears. Right. Like,
and
to get in the moment.
Yanni?
I'll fucking deadlift everything. Yeah.
So, you know, is there a genetic piece to that? Like, is it not always just like these types of music will relax you? Like, it also means too, like for this person, is there a lot of that? Or
It sounds like musical preference. It's kind of like what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Like, does that affect?
That'd be really interesting if it was genetic. I mean, it's like I do like Irish music, I'm pretty Irish, but I grew up with it. So, but
there has to be
there is a preference, yeah.
Because why else would you like polka? You know what I mean?
I like polka. Yeah. But
all right,
you know what's kind of weird about that is that we initially thought that was going to be a huge component in the system, that we had to make all kinds of different genres because, you know, not everybody's going to like electronic.
Yeah,
not everybody's
going to
like classical. The weird thing is that I made an Irish session just basically for myself. I made a classical session. We have a large variety of sessions, and the classical is within the top five. The Irish is within the top five. It's weird, maybe it's because of the way the AI is kind of arranging things, or it's simply the results that you get. And these are not boring tunes either. They engage you, but they're not distracting. So we actually haven't had a problem with preference, but science, there's been many studies that have said that musical preference.
Now, hold on, you said AI. Let's stop there for a second. What do you mean by that? What's the role of artificial intelligence in what you're doing?
Is this Skynet in our ears?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God! It's happening.
Yeah.
Well, the AI, I had to create an AI. It took me about 5 months to actually kind of compose the music and arrange it, because it's not just. And we're talking about binaural beats. Binaural beats are just a tone.
Mm-hmm.
It was just two tones that are kind of offset. What we're doing is actually integrating this into music. And that's a whole different beast.
Of course.
So if you think about, you know, music involves not only drums, which are beats in themselves, you know. So I have to arrange all these drums, and everything has to synchronize with millisecond precision. But also every note is an auditory event. And every piece of the music, for example, a raindrop. We have rain sounds, and every single raindrop has to be synchronized with the brainwave that we're trying to induce at that time.
Holy shit. Are you going to take over movies with this or what? Like, this sounds like it'd be amazing to have the soundtrack. It affects like my whole experience.
Buy more popcorn.
Right? You would think though the future of it would involve that for sure.
It's to me, why
wouldn't you produce a movie where you know you
like
could impact
awesome performance
impact the mood of somebody, right?
Yeah. I could see the application. This is the application.
That's cool. It's cool.
Almost like you could cheat. Like you could design a song that causes maximum pleasure in the brain, and you've got yourself like a number one hit on the billboards.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You guys are nodding your heads like you guys are already trying to do that.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
We're working with Justin Timberlake.
Don't they actually do this in grocery stores? I've heard that the tones and the types of music that they choose in there promotes you to want to shop and want to be in there. Have you heard that?
I mean, it doesn't work on me. I just want to get out of there. I mean, I seriously doubt it. This is very new science. And we were talking about whenever I started in 2003, this wasn't entrainment wasn't very accepted. So I believed in it and I had used it and I was very interested in it and I was a programmer, so might as well. But now it is very accepted. I mean, you're seeing it, the body of science for it has blown up. I mean, you're seeing papers that are in prestigious journals like Nature. Mm-hmm. Nature had a paper on, and you're seeing dynamic attending theory, which is this it's kind of this offshoot, or it is based on entrainment, and there's a huge amount of supporting evidence for that now. So the idea that sound can actually directly affect the brain is actually remarkably accepted now. It's very, very exciting. But academia hasn't taken that to the level of, okay, can we change mental state? And simultaneously, back in 2003, it was not accepted. And this is crazy to me. And it was crazy to me then that if you change brain waves, you change mental state. I mean, it's insane. And there were academics that were saying, brain waves are just a side effect of the brain. If you change brain waves, you're not necessarily changing mental state.
And to kind of contextualize that, we are every single mental state that we have has an associated brainwave pattern, right? So if you're in the zone working out, if you're completely relaxed and you're recovering, if you're taking a nap, if you're on a hike, if you're drunk, it doesn't matter if you're high, right? It's like there is a brainwave pattern associated with that. So there is a very deep relationship that's quite clear that wasn't accepted for a long time, that what Adam was saying. But now there is an overwhelming body of science with leading publications, with amazing scientists, with purely great science being put out that is putting a foundation to say, hey, brainwave states and mental states, if you can alter your brainwave state, theoretically you can alter your mental state, which is what the promise of what we're trying to do with innovating with brain science right now. So when I met him,
what is your guys' roles? How did you guys meet?
So we met about 3 years ago at a meetup in Chicago. It was a quantified self meetup where he was presenting a paper that was published based a researcher used his software to publish a study on. And I kind of got to know him, and there was a lot of after kind of understanding jargon that was new to me, I kind of figured, I was like, okay, this guy has invented the gold standard for auditory brain stimulation software for neuroscientists and research labs, which basically means, if you want to think about it, it's kind of like a Photoshop-esque tool that he invented for neuroscientists, where just like a creative would go in and produce a PSD file, an image, right, that's highly customized, a neuroscientist can go into his software and make an MP3 file that he or she can then use in a research experiment. Mm. So I'm like, so this guy has been pioneering and innovating to understand the relationship between music and the brain, and he is helping these neuroscientists. So why isn't this not out for anybody for us to use? So that was when the thesis came about. Let's create an application that anybody can use that we would love to use first, right? Like, let's build something that we would love to use. And we started off with, like, what are the most primary use cases? So he had all kinds of use cases that you could do. So we're like, the most important use cases, at least for us, for me, and for Adam, for our friends, was focus, was sleep, and was for relaxation, for meditation. So we started off with those three primary use cases. Then we branched off to naps and then sort of general relaxation that you can use beyond meditation. And it's been interesting. We've got pilot studies out. We've applied to two U.S. government grants, one with the National Science Foundation, the other one with the National Institutes of Mental Health. We've done it with amazing auditory neuroscientists. We've co-applied. So there's these government applications where you can apply as an innovative brain science company along with an academic institution. And the government is very bullish and very proactive on this kind. It's called SBIR, Small Business Innovation Research, is what how the government classifies it. And we've applied for it with Dr. Saiki Liu at Western University, and we've done some fMRI pilot data. We've also got in Dr. Andrea Spencer from Harvard Medical School, who trained under the number one ADHD psychiatry group in the country, and she also has her bachelor's in music from Yale. So we've got
very
some
very cool, we've good
got
team.
We've got some interesting people that
and Dr. Ben Morillon.
Oh, yeah,
he was published in Nature on this very subject, and that's how we kind of got acquainted with him. And he's very important. Yeah.
Now, so far, what are you seeing with some of these studies, or what's the feedback that you're getting? Because this product is already you have these products already available.
Yeah, you can go try it out on the web if you're on your laptop or on your iPhone. We're coming out with the Android version soon. But the promise is that you listen to it, and within a few, kind of like an espresso shot, right? Like you should be able to experience something, because that is what we're trying to go for. And so whenever you even talk about brain FM, it's like ignore everything we're saying and go have your own experience. And if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. And if it works for you, great. Keep using it, you know?
So what kind of feedback are you guys getting? Are people telling you, man, this is pretty awesome stuff?
Yeah, it's been...
Because you guys are growing.
Yeah. Crazy amounts.
I mean, that's the proof in the pudding to me. Whenever you see a product come out and it just starts to blow up.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because, you know, we started off with this kind of tiny experimental product, and we had, you know, 200 people on it. They were just kind of some of my customers that we just kind of onboarded. And of course, my existing customers would love it, you know. But what happened is we made a deal with this this company, and we did a promotion, and we saw it was like 400 five-star reviews. I mean, it looked like we had faked the whole thing. It looked like I sent it to my dad, and he was like, "Are these all your reviews, son?" That's like, thanks, Dad. That's great.
Do you remember that was what people were when we first started Mind Pump? If you look, I think we're at 800-900 reviews or something like that. And all but maybe four are 5-star.
I mean, you kind of want some 4-stars.
You
do. Please.
Because
just have a slightly mediocre experience, one of you.
Yeah.
So it was crazy to us that, and that was kind of the final, like, I mean, you can have all this science and you can work for, you know, over a decade and you can really believe in yourself. But whenever you finally have this just gigantic, supportive kind of event where everybody's feeling it and everybody's loving it, then suddenly you get very confident in yourself and very confident in the product, and you start really going crazy.
And there's a ton of anecdotal evidence from our customers, from our users, but we very much respect science, and we like this is innovative stuff. This is we don't say that this is the be all end all. That's why we're working with the best researchers. That's why we're applying to these grants. That's why we're going to use our own significant portions of our revenue to have landmark studies come out, because that's in our best – that's in the best interest of everybody.
Of course.
Well, I always like hearing from you guys like you guys too that chose to go the podcast route. What led you that way?
Because now you guys are starting a podcast with our good friend Kyle as the host.
Yeah. It kind of came about with a few serendipitous events. Kyle was is a customer of ours, so he tweeted us out maybe like 8 or 9 months ago, and I was monitoring the tweets back in time, and I made a note. I was like, if I ever come to San Francisco, I need to talk to Kyle. And I sat down with him. Within the first 2 hours, we hit topics, you know, covering from meditation to plant medicines to all these kind of commonalities that we had that, you know, when you have certain commonalities that are so, you know, that kind of define who you are, you know, and it was just like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, it was kind of like, before I met him, I was like, we need to have a podcast. And we just sort of evolved from there. And we've got some very amazing people. Just like yourself. These putting out great conversations is a fascinating way to learn and a fascinating way to teach at the same time. It's a very fortunate place to be.
I believe it's the future of education. I really believe the podcasting, TED Talk type of mentality is the future of learning. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I know in the last 5 years or so of my life, I think I've learned more on TED Talks and good podcasts and interviews and YouTube channels than I have ever in a textbook, you know. So it's more engaging, and I think people can relate, and I think it's so much easier to learn that way. So I really believe it's the future of learning
for us. It's the modern equivalent of the Gutenberg printing press, except multiply it times a trillion, and so we're just all much more connected.
Isn't it fascinating that we're constantly evolving as human beings in terms of consuming our knowledge? Right. It's like, if you would have told this to the people that were printing the Gutenberg, it's like, yeah, people are going to be bored with this stuff in a few hundred years, and they're going to start putting little AirPod things, and they're going to like listen to any person in the world.
Well, it's the printing press, a lot of people don't realize, is probably one of the main catalysts started the Renaissance. That really, I mean, it was a decentralizer of power is what it was. Before that, you know, you had the holders of information were the church and the nobles. Nobody could afford books because you had to write them by hand, and so you had to be rich to have a book, and so you didn't know how to read, and if you want to learn something, you went to your church and you said, hey, why is the sky blue, or why is this working? And then they are the ones that got to control information.
Well, the earth's flat. So,
yeah. And so technology is doing that times a gazillion. Now everybody's so connected, and of course you got growing pains just like you did with the printing press, but it's probably the biggest decentralizer of power mankind has ever seen. I like to bring up the example of Hollywood and how they're such a powerful industry, right? They control music and movies, and they're so powerful, but they can't stop free music and free movies being shared online. Like, they're so powerful and they can't control the spread of information. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think we're seeing such rapid growth advancement and a lot of pain. We're seeing a lot of pain too.
Seeing those celebrities now now it's actually really common to hear a Justin Bieber, the kid started on YouTube. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for YouTube and him playing his guitar at whatever 5 or 7 years old, he wouldn't have been the star he is today. So I mean, now fame is different. It's defined differently, and now the people that have a little more power and say in control, it's not like it used to be.
How your product would have been almost impossible to promote without the internet, right? You'd have to like make CDs and tapes that people have to go
CDs
and buy, and if they never heard of them on the radio, which imagine trying to get on the radio,
And with CDs, for example, it's such a brilliant point, because we're constantly improving on the back end. You know, we're constantly improving our algorithms, and like just like Pandora, right? It learns from you in a very basic way, thumbs up, thumbs down. That's not possible on CDs, right? That's not possible. There's no feedback loop here that we can take advantage of for giving the best content, for giving the best music out to people.
Now, we have a lot of listeners that are entrepreneurs. We actually got a pretty sizable audience that own businesses. We talk about entrepreneurship all the time. Mm-hmm. The three of us are fitness is one of our passions, but entrepreneurship is either a close second or might even be first. Mm-hmm. How's the business? How did the business grow? How fast is it growing? What's it looking like?
Yeah, it's something that I've never seen before, which was fascinating and very, very. It blows my mind, because it's spreading just through word of mouth, right? And that's where I've never seen anything like that happen. So when Adam referred to this partnership that we did, we basically we were just looking for feedback for a couple thousand people. Like, we thought, okay, if we could sell a couple thousand people and get more feedback than his 200 customers, right? We just need to have more data points. It ended up selling 10,000 accounts in a week. We got 300K coming towards us. It was just like literally like yeah. it was kind of like a little bit like, oh, here's a freebie from the universe. Yeah. And then I was just like and then another freebie. Like, we were on last week we launched our iOS app, and we were handicapping ourselves, because 91% of music apps are on mobile, and we were only on the web. So Ron, now really, like, we're beginning to see a lot more steam. And we went to the front page of Hacker News on Hacker News is kind of like a Reddit-like website. It gets gets about 14 million people. It's basically upvoting, downvoting for a more technical community. And we've had these random events, and now we're inching up to about 300,000 people using us, and almost 20% of them paying.
That's
so
awesome.
That's great, man.
That's without a single ad.
That's crazy. Yeah.
God damn, I love that shit.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, though? Yeah. I mean, that's so cool that we have the ability to do that now. That's why, I mean, when people hate on America, I always talk shit. Like, come on, dude, where else can you do something like that? I think that's so fascinating that we have the ability to build a business like that and so fast. But it also speaks to what you guys are doing, too. Yeah. It's the right time. People need this.
Exactly.
It's good information. It's. I mean, this is the type of stuff that we need more of. It's also why we were really excited to have you guys on the show was I think more people need to hear stuff like this because this is the type of stuff that's going to take us into the next century, I feel like.
Well, and it's not an overnight success thing either, you know, like all those years leading up with the research.
That's a great fucking point because it sounds overnight.
It sounds like that just happened from the gods, but really, like, let's be honest, like you guys were onto something. You stuck with your idea.
Yeah.
You refined it. You polished it. You know, you did all the sweat labor, and now all of a sudden you reveal it, and it's the right timing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
boom. Yeah, that's what it is.
It reminds me of a business I tried to start when we were, I was probably about 22 years old. And I think we were just too fucking ahead of everybody at the time. Mm-hmm. And we saw the importance, and this was good from training all the clients. We knew that them sitting at their desk was just killing them posture wise. And I know it was a major contributor to all the aches and pains my clients were having. So we created this ergonomical chair that it was just looked just like a normal, you know, office chair that would go up and down, but the shaft had a ball bearing in it, and it had a 15 degree play in all directions, and then the seat was just slightly angled at like a 45 degree angle, so you got a little bit of the pelvic tilt, mm-hmm. and then it forced them in a more upright posture, and then the play with the shaft actually forced them to activate their core while they sit at their desk.
Why am I a little horny after that?
Well, you know,
yeah, you found a good opportunity to say shaft and pelvis a couple times there. I'm not
you sure. noticed that too.
I'm not sure that existed. That thing you just mentioned. You guys had a bet before the show. I would need you to use this in a sentence.
How many $10 if you could say shaft?
We do that every once in a while. Yeah. Now, so we were just so far ahead. I remember, and then of course it was right around the time when the economy was kind of crashing and we were going down after real estate, and we were trying to sell a chair that was, you know, five times more expensive than what these companies were providing for their employees. And of course that wasn't going nowhere, you know, like you mean to tell me you want me, instead of spending $50 on my employees' chairs, you want me to spend $350? Get the fuck out of my office. So,
you know, I'm thinking right now about what you guys are talking about, and music has been shown conclusively to influence people's workouts. Conclusively. People love, like, you can't go into a gym. You ever go into a gym and it's silent? Fucking sucks. Every gym you go into has got music. And when, of course, MP3 players got popular, everybody's got their headphones on. They're working out. In fact, you're seeing a lot more of these over-the-ear headphones being used in gyms because it really improves your workout. It makes a big difference when you're exercising. I feel like there's a huge market for what you guys are doing for that. I mean, to show the focus, performance-enhancing benefits while you exercise, I could see people using that shit all the time. I mean, for God's sakes, they sell some of the stupidest products that might show the smallest improvement in performance, and people buy them up
100%.
Like crazy. You know, I could only imagine.
Fitness is huge for us. We were approached by Matt Lindland, the Olympic silver medalist and coach of the Greco-Roman wrestling team.
He used to fight MMA too, right? Yeah, he's one of my heroes. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know who he was.
Yeah, he was a monster back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, his ears are all.
Oh,
up.
Yeah.
Sal
yeah,
is full of worthless up. Information. You'll figure this out.
I know a lot of random shit.
But we ended up working with your team,
the Salmanac,
pre-Olympics and during the Olympics, and with recovery. Right. That's another huge part of it. With sleep, like no one. It's sort of like everyone's all about go go go. With sleep, we really assisted them to get up all the sleep aids that they were using that were not so kosher, right? Like just, or it could have just been like melatonin. But having the right performance with just having sleep is where we're starting off with. We're really getting a lot of momentum there.
Mm.
And with focus, the other aspect of it is listening to it right before you go into a workout, like just kind of like coffee. So if you listen to the focus session, it's not just when you're zoning on your laptop to knock some shit out, it's more also for just before the workout and during the workout.
Holy shit, a pre and post workout.
I know. Dude, I'm like, right now, my wheels are spinning with what we're about to release
now. You're talking to three, you know, when you're going to talk about how to package something and promote it. Yeah. That's what we do really well. And what you just said explains is a pre and post workout, which is a huge market in fitness, except they don't have to take some kind of a shitty supplement. You know, that's going to hurt them. But let me ask you this. When using these, so if I were, you brought up melatonin. If I took melatonin before I went to bed, there are some studies that show using a very low dose might enhance my sleep or whatever. But over time, actually in a relatively short period of time, my body builds up a tolerance to it and may in fact reduce its own production.
I've heard that as well.
Of melatonin. Now, with your product, with what you're doing, for me, it feels like it would probably work better over time, not worse. Are you noticing any adaptive effects, or is the brain, does it become easier to get these type of, you know, waves that you're looking for? These you know, like if someone listens to it for 15 times, now they get in that state a lot easier than the next time they listen to
or
it.
Or the opposite, right?
Yeah. Like, what are you seeing with that?
That's a super good question. The sleep is I'm very, very proud of it, and it took me a long time to invent this. And so I was a very severe insomniac. I had it, like Ambien wouldn't put me out. You know, we're talking crazy, crazy drugs that I needed to take. And even while I was making this software that helped me relax and helped me focus, I still couldn't conquer sleep. So I finally did, a couple years ago, and, what it does two things. It helps you with sleep onset, which is what most people have as far as insomnia. So they can't get to sleep. Maybe your mind is, it keeps running, you know, you're thinking about worries. You can't, you know, and that's what most people have when you talk about insomnia. And this has a kind of a 3D effect, and it's really cool. You'll hear sounds going all the way around your head, and it's very, very relaxing. It's gently engaging, so you just kind of all your thoughts kind of go away. I mean, you'll it's very
God damn, I want to do this right now.
Dissociating.
I know. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it's pleasurable. Actually, it is very pleasurable. You feel kind of high. You know, I mean,
wow.
It's like somebody else is doing the work for you to think.
Yeah. It takes your mind off of it. And so whenever I found this effect, I immediately went off all my meds, which was incredible to me. Nothing had ever worked.
You're
like
kidding
this.
Me.
Yeah.
So no longer had to take anything to help
I
you sleep.
I haven't taken anything since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now how does that work? How long do you have to listen to it before sleep? You know, what's the protocol look like?
Yeah, did you have to wing yourself off the Ambien and things like that?
Or
were you able to...
It works immediately, and it does this with, I mean, because it's taking your mind off. I mean, that was my problem, is that my mind would not shut up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have the same problem. That's why I'm very intrigued right now.
His mind is like his mouth.
Pretty much.
Won't shut up.
Yeah. And so what...
Brilliant,
though. Attest to that.
Same time.
But the other cool thing that it ended up doing, which is even more extraordinary, is it ended up increasing what are called... a slow wave activity in the brain. Slow waves are, they're produced in the deepest part of sleep. And this is whenever memories are being formed. They're being taken from short-term memories to long-term. They're being consolidated. That's what you usually call it. And you're recovering. If you had a workout, it's healing. Your body's healing itself. And it's only during this slow wave period that these things are happening. A lot of people think that memories are consolidated in REM, and that's true, but only emotional memories. So the declarative memory, like as in, I did this then, I learned this, I have a trivia fact, that's all in slow wave sleep. And we increased it 20 to 30%. Now, to put that in perspective, to put that in perspective, if you were to not sleep tonight at all, pull an all-nighter, And then the next night, whenever you go to sleep, your brain will only produce 10% more to compensate. So
it's a big boost.
Northwestern scientist we were working with didn't even believe it. We were doing a sleep study, and he thought I surely had somehow faked this. I mean, how I would fake 8 hours of EEG recording, I do not know. But then he did it, and we had other people do it, and I did it again, and we kept getting the same result with everybody.
Now, are you listening while you're sleeping, or is this before? Okay, so you put it on. How long before you go to bed would you put your headphones on?
It seems to vary from person to person. We usually recommend that people don't change their sleep schedule at all, because I don't want people to say, oh, I have Brain FM now. I used to go to bed at 12. Now I'm going to try to go to bed at 7 p.m. And it's like, I'm sorry, we can't do anything for you. It's not that powerful. Mm-hmm. So don't change your sleep schedule. I tell people to put it on whenever they want to fall
asleep.
It's more
about quality of sleep than it is when you're sleep tying or how long, right? That's
another thing, yeah. You can kind of change. It made me change my mentality a bit about sleep, because even if you just take a nap with this, I mean, we showed that it increases slow wave sleep, it increases your time, it increases the quality of everything about sleep. So, you know, going to sleep is easier whenever I can think, okay, it doesn't really matter if I think I'm sleeping, or if I get, you know, 6 hours versus 4 hours, I'm still going to feel better. This is a good thing. And then ironically, you go straight to sleep whenever you have that mentality.
Wow. So when you use this, I'm going to ask you guys, I know you guys said you guys are doing some studies right now, and I can't wait till the results come out of that. But anecdotally speaking, what are people saying when they're using that? That are they remembering more as a result of those increased slow wave?
I would think they would see like better energy and production.
Yeah,
overall recovery.
What are people noticing?
Yeah, what's the feedback?
Well, they're off their medication. I mean, it's the first thing that
Huge. Yeah. That right there in itself is
gigantic. Is such a big fucking market.
Yeah, gigantic.
And I do want to preface it is, if you're on medication, always consult your doctor before trying out anything.
Yeah,
right?
Very smart.
Always consult your doctor, because people come from different walks of life, and we don't know every single aspect. And the second thing I want to say too is that we're an innovative brain science company, right? We're combining music with auditory neuroscience. So this is innovation here. This is new stuff. So we've released pilot data. Pilot data is not the same as peer-reviewed published data. It's a very, very separate thing. Pilot data is what we would use to fuel a peer-reviewed published study.
Right. You start with that.
Exactly. So if you go to brain.fm/science, you will see our pilot data. We have no peer-reviewed published studies yet on Brain.fm, but we have applied to 2 U.S. government grants, and we're very much going, very likely going to work with Dr. Marleone or Dr. Saikilu at Western University. That's just an important preface, because for us, like, we would our sort of, you know, default is to be transparent about
this.
And
you've just demonstrated an incredible amount of integrity. I'm glad you said that. But
for sure.
But from speaking from you guys, because people want to hear what you feel. You know, what do you guys experience when you do this? What does it feel like when you use this the next day? And you can tell this is your own anecdote, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's Brain FM is completely changed my life in terms of sleep. Traditionally, I've actually never had issues with sleep, but I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And in plane rides, for naps, anytime my sleep schedule is out of whack, to have that comfort and that sort of this tool that I can rely upon, right? I know that I'll be fine with my sleep. I don't have to worry about my sleep. For me, that was my advantage. And obviously, for insomniacs like Adam, it's more meaningful, right?
I was going to say... you talked about adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting, because after 4 weeks of using this myself, I no longer need it. I can put it on whenever I want to have a very effective sleep, whenever I feel like I have a sleep debt and I want to get rid of it. But I have the soldier's talent now. I can sleep anywhere at any time.
Sick.
And this is coming from – I sleep through airplane rides now. I mean, it's like I'm being transported. It's incredible. I mean, and he used to do that, and it'd annoy me on road trips. It'd be a 9-hour trip, and he'd just be like, I feel great. And I'm, well, thanks. Like, I just drove 9 hours, and you're wondering why I'm not in a great mood. And he's like, woo. And I can do that now.
Train the brain.
And what's interesting is that sleep is a uniquely ideal place for an audio intervention. Because what's happening whenever you're asleep, even in the deepest part of sleep, your brain is using the ears to monitor the environment, you know, for tigers and other tribes, attacks.
Point.
So it's your brain is really paying a lot of attention to the audio environment. And whenever you have auditory sounds that are low, it seems like a 3D location is kind of being is going around you, like a music or what I call like balls of sound. I mean, you'll hear it whenever you use it, but basically there's movement going on at all times, and so your brain kind of gets used to that. It's not monitoring completely, because really there's no reason for us in the modern day to be constantly monitoring our environment, constantly waking up every time there's a horn or a siren or every time somebody moves a little bit in their sleep.
Yeah, modern society is a trillion times safer while we sleep than it was, you know, years ago.
And keep in mind that every time that slow wave sleep is very, very difficult to get into. Okay, you have to go through stage one and two to get to slow wave sleep. So if you're suddenly, you know, jolted out of sleep, which most people are, like my girlfriend, for example, if I just even move a little bit, you know, she'll like, duh, you know, and I'm trying to get her to use Brain FM. She does. Yeah, we're trying to find headphones that she likes. But
for sleeping, that's the one thing, because there's no ideal headphone for sleep at the moment. So we recommend certain ones that we love using, like certain skull candy ones, and there's the ones where you can put it over your eyes.
Mm.
So certain people, you know, they get hot flashes at night, you know, so they begin to sweat through the cotton. So we're constantly updating our recommendation lists.
Do you recommend over-the-ear headphones over earbuds, I'm assuming?
Well, we wouldn't recommend earbuds at all. Because they're going to fall out.
Okay.
So you kind of have to get special sleep phones is what they're called. And it's usually going to be like a sleep mask and little wafer-thin speakers in it. And those will kind of stay in place all night. And, yeah, you do have to make – I mean, it's like a $20 investment. You know?
Yeah, and that's a good point, because for sleep, you need to use ideally – something that is within your ears, because there's a 3D component going on. So within for slow wave sleep, what he described, there's a lot of literature that pointed us towards that if you're rocking in a hammock or a cradle, that stimulates slow wave sleep activity. So what we've done is basically, for example, with the rain sounds that he just mentioned, that the rain, all every single drop is synchronized, that it's kind of moving like...
So it's simulating that.
Exactly. Kind of like a cradle or a hammock. So that is, so it's really important.
Because
the
ears have to do with balance there.
Wow.
So listening to over speakers, like, you know, you're losing a lot of the effects. And that's, we get a lot of people saying like, oh, this is great. But it kind of serves the white noise. Like, really to get the full effects is to really have something that's really great for your... For your ears for sleep, for focus, for any of the other ones, you can use any one. That's fine. But for sleep, because there's movement in your bed, and you can find the one that we recommend on BrainFM/FAQ.
And you won't get the 3D effects unless you use headphones. And we're not actually using panning. It's kind of cool, because if you think about what happens whenever whenever somebody's talking to me from a side. The volume doesn't change from ear to ear. What happens is it hits one ear first, and then it hits the other.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very, very slight difference. And what we've done is we've figured out what happens all around you. It simulates, the changing phase of music going all around you. And this appears to train your brain to not really care so much what's going on around you. So then you can develop what I got, which is the soldier's talent. I can sleep anywhere. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
It's insane.
Now, you talked about slow wave, slow wave sleep. Is it true, if I'm not mistaken, most medications do a poor job of getting us in?
No pill will do this. I mean, it's
like it'll help you fall asleep, but then you don't get extra slow wave.
And some of them actually inhibit it.
Wow.
I mean, it's going to sound arrogant, but not only are we a solution, but I truly believe that we are the best and only solution to this right now. There's I haven't seen anything else out there that does.
Like everything, the pills are all
pending
crutches, right?
Publication.
Pills are crutches.
Like, I just want to preface that, Adam's the inventor.
Hey, he's hyped, man.
We need to preface. I'm usually the one who's pretty safe about this stuff.
I
picture those raindrops, and it's just like rocking Justin to sleep, and then it makes him go to old habits. He starts sucking his thumb, right?
Probably.
But I wonder if it would do that.
He's like a big baby.
It takes you back to that feeling. I wonder if it would just, you would naturally stick your thumb in your mouth.
Damn, I feel like this is
probably this is probably pee my pants.
This is revolutionary science. It's almost like you could go almost anywhere. I mean, you could analyze brain waves. Like, you could have, hey honey, why don't you listen to this music real quick? She's horny. You know what I mean? You can like figure all that out. Holy shit.
Brain hacking's too, yeah, right?
Yeah, we need to partner with these guys.
I feel like we definitely need to make headphones, though. So just asking you these questions right now, I feel like there's already a need for this, that nobody seems to really have a really cool, good pair of headphones that pairs with this. So
if you do that, then yeah, well, I would love that with your ergonomic. You'll find a way to integrate shafts and pistons and
other things. I got you. We'll sell it. I'm not even worried about that shit. We'll sell it. We just got to make it. But I feel like I have never seen a pair like where you do that. But I'm sure Ben Greenfield's got them.
Yeah,
he's got all the nerdy toys.
Where do people find your product? How do they get access to these songs and the sounds?
So you can go to Brain.fm, www.brain.fm, or you can search it on the App Store if you have an iPhone or an iPad. Brain.fm.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming out on the Android version. We're sprinting on it, and it will be live by the end of the year or early next year.
So wow. take me through the quick process real quick. We're going to start this, like, is it a subscription base? So once I get the app, is it like a monthly thing or is it a one-time purchase? Do I need to buy headphones special for that? Or, you know, go through all your, take me through if you're selling this to me right now.
So you can come on to Brain.fm.
Yep.
We give you 10 free sessions.
Okay.
And after that, if you feel like it's been worth it, you can get unlimited sessions. You can get access to the full library and also personalization of the content. And that is for $7 a month, $50 for the year. That's what it is right now. And for no special headphones required if you're listening to it for focus, meditation, relaxation. For sleep, people are particular about it. So we say go to our FAQ page to see what we recommend best.
Okay.
Like for me, I am super flexible. I'm fine with any pair of earphones as long as they don't fall out. Because I know that, you know, the effects for the 3D to really come into place is important to have that there.
Wow. Okay. So easy. It's really easy. And you give 10 free sessions.
Yeah. So that's the model that we're trying right now. And so for ours is like, we have to deliver an experience where people are like, okay, like an espresso shot. Like, you know, I know it's working. Like, feel like just like Kyle, just like Wim Hof says, like feeling is believing, right?
Yeah. No, it's true. That's confidence too in your product. That's what's great. I love that.
I love this. This is very cutting edge. I can see this becoming very, very large within the fitness and performance aspect of the fitness industry. I can see this becoming one of those next big things. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to try it. I haven't tried it yet,
yeah.
But you've got me completely.
Oh, we all are today. 100%.
You've got me
that.
Completely sold and fascinated. And we will give our honest 100% opinion on our show. But based on what you guys are saying and what Kyle said so far, I don't think I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, really excited.
So
yeah. Try it while working out as well. Because we didn't do that with the Olympic team because they were on the mats were talking to each other. So we said, okay, use it beforehand as kind of a pre-workout, which you can still do. But you were talking about, muscle tension and things.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend in some cases, because they had some anxious players, you can also use kind of a relaxation session, like 15 minutes, 10 minutes right before you go into
a
workout.
Great.
Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but tense muscles are still less efficient than relaxed muscles. Is that the dogma still?
Yeah, if your muscles are in a constant state of what they call tonus, you know, they fatigue very, very quickly. You can only stay, you know, ready and tense for a short period of time. If it stays like that all the time, you start to fatigue. And you'll see this a lot with athletes, fighters, for example. They'll be so amped up.
Yeah.
By the time they get to the ring, they're exhausted. You know, they've gassed out because they've been so tense. So
there's definitely a happy medium.
Yeah, getting that central nervous system to fire when it needs to and to not, you know, when it shouldn't is a wonderful place to be. Yeah. That's ideal. But
one thing before we wrapped up I wanted to touch on was music's existing relationship to the brain and humanity. That's a complete mystery for us. For everything that we should have, evolutionarily speaking, that there should be an advantage for. But even Darwin commented in The Origin of Species was that music is this one thing that completely puzzled him because it's for enjoyment, right? And it's for people make it for expression.
Mm-hmm.
So why does music exist? And it's with language too. MIT did a science mic drop in November of last year, where they basically there was a lot of different consensus of whether even music did anything to the brain or not. But they went as far as to say that not only that there's dedicated parts of the brain that are processing music, the whole brain lights up, right? And there's two schools of thought at the moment is that either language, there's actually three. So either language came first, either music came first, or either they evolved together. And you can go as far as to say that either language evolved from music or music evolved from language. So music can be, you know, like you said, this sort of pre-language communication tool.
Well, we talked about this, not in this episode, but another episode we recorded earlier, that we know for a fact if you learn something to a tune, you are far more likely to remember it. And this is why when you're a kid,
lasting power that way.
This is why when you're a kid, you learn your ABCs to a song. Mm. And why in a classroom,
so true.
They'll teach you, if you learn something to the beat of it. Look, I tell you what, I could play a song that you listened to when you were 13 years old that you haven't heard since then. And as soon as it starts, you'll remember all the lyrics. If I had given you the lyrics without any music when you're 13 years old, you would forget them today. So there's definitely an evolutionary advantage to music. And I mean, before we were able to write and record, that's probably how we ended up passing along information, was through song. And when we go and we go research, you know, hunter-gatherer societies that exist even today, this is how they pass on stories, is through music and song. And then you remember things. So music is a very important part of human evolution. There's a reason why we love it. And there's a reason why we're driven to seek it out. And almost anything that we're driven to seek out has got some kind of a evolutionary advantage or benefit to it. Music's one of those things.
You're very right. I mean, it has to have an evolutionary advantage because it's found in every culture. And there are precious few things that can be said. You know, it's like smiling whenever you're happy, crying when you're sad. These are things that are found in every culture, regardless of how isolated they've been. But music is found everywhere. And what's weird is that we are the only species that has this. We're the only species that has this level of rhythm, or arguably any rhythm. I mean, we have such a complex...
You're talking about white people right now?
I know, right? It's like my dad. My dad thinks he doesn't have any rhythm.
Dance.
Yeah,
but we all have rhythm.
We all know what music sounds like when we hear it.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody can march to rhythm. I mean, if it was just, you know, if white people couldn't march, then we wouldn't have had some, you know, crazy wars.
And oh, that's shit.
A, I mean, you know. Yeah. You know, I think people might have heard of like Staying Alive being used with CPR the beat whenever
can't tell you about the beat.
Wow. Yeah. I can't imagine doing that.
And I'll tell you something you guys might find interesting is that if you work out to a beat or you say you're hiking or backpacking, and you use that, you every step is a beat. You will never tire. If you don't tire within the first 30 seconds, you can do that all day. Try it out, and you'll believe me. It's a big mystery. Why are we so good at music? And that's keep funny, in mind, yeah. We are really good at it. Computers cannot
match.
Why
does it coincide with math so much?
And it's an incredible amount of math that it's doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's happening really fast.
And we do it effortlessly. And by the way, we can do it at birth. We can do this at birth. This is an instinct.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the craziest and one of the very few instincts that we have.
In fact, one of the tests that, you know, because we're always trying to, especially today, we're trying to identify, like, when true self-conscious artificial intelligence comes about, what are some of the tests that we're going to be able to, you know, give it to show that it's conscious? One of them is, will it be able to compose music? I've heard many scientists say that, like, when real artificial intelligence can compose art and music and do all these things that we really don't know to put words to, then that's one of the things that we'll know. Oh wow, we've gotten to that.
I don't think he really knew what music was. Music is actually very structured. It's very predictable. But that's not to demean it
sure.
at all.
Spoken like a scientist.
Yeah, I mean, you have things like the circle of fifths. I mean, you've probably seen, there's a YouTube video where this guy basically proves that every song ever written is derived from Pachelbel's canon. I mean, there are predictable things that you can do. Whether they'll have good music, that's a whole different thing. Will it be able to compose original good music or innovative music and use innovative instruments? I think that's more of a – that would be kind of a better test. But, you know, it would be a really good test of just computing ability would be the ability to even a small fraction of our ability to perceive music. So, for example, you could give a symphony to let a computer hear a symphony and just say, let us know whenever the timpani's playing. Let us know whenever you hear a lead violin doing something. It's like, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's the amount of power, because we think about our brain processes it much differently than a computer does. And I have to deal with how does a computer look at sound every day, and dealing with things like, okay, what do we find complex? What do we find annoying? The brain hears and processes music on a completely different level, and you have to deal with it. And until they find a way to do that, that would be
good
my
luck,
guess.
Right?
Yeah, good luck. I think I've said before that if Terminators took over the Earth right now and we were going to have a CAPTCHA, you know what I mean by CAPTCHA? Like, you're going to prove that you're not a robot.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the front gate. You remember the Terminator movies? Yeah. You had dogs. Screw that. Just be like, here's a symphony. Or here's some music. Tell if it's good. Oh, it's Kanye West. Get the hell out of here! Freaking Terminator trying to get in here again.
All the Terminators listen to Kanye. Yeah. Those bastards.
Yeah. Excellent, guys.
Trying to kill us.
Good time, guys. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
Fascinating. I cannot fucking wait to try this out. I'm doing it today. Excellent.
We'll definitely do this again for sure.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam is at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin's at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.